Hey, let's talk Gillette. Maintaining a city and all the associated infrastructure is a constant process. Roads, water lines, and sewers are always deteriorating and periodically need to be repaired or replaced. To find out more about this year's upcoming engineering projects, I sat down with Joe Shane, the city engineer, and he told me a little bit about what's coming up. And I think the first category you wanted to talk about was streets.
Yes, in general, we have a lot of street projects that are going to be going on around town. And this isn't really a one-size-fits-all. This is kind of a conglomerate of all of our projects. So small ones, big ones, medium ones, stuff that'll affect people for sure. It's just a matter of where it's located as to how much we affect the actual residents around town.
Okay.
So with that, we'll go through some of the street projects or the patching jobs, maintenance jobs that we're going to be doing. This year, we have the L&H Alley Reconstruction Project. That's going to constitute essentially a replacement of the surfacing of the alley right in front of L&H. That's why we called it that. It is from north of L&J Court is the location of it, just so everybody knows where it's at. We're looking to get that done here, hopefully this spring. We're going to advertise it in the next month, so sometime between the end of March and the beginning of April. Construction could happen very quickly on that one. I'm hoping to get it done by June 1, but it all depends on weather, and it all depends on how good the contractor or how fast the contractor can get on that project. Next project, we have the 8th Street Inlets. We actually took a phone call a few years ago from the senior center that had some trouble with stormwater. So we had a couple of storms. We watched them ourselves. They actually overtopped the intersection of 8th Street and Stock Trail. And so once it overtops Stock Trail or 8th Street in intersection, then it goes down and then it goes into the senior center parking lot. So in order to help that flooding or any of that runoff going down there, we added some inlets. So this is the 8th Street and Stock Trail Inlet Project. That project is currently ongoing and has started and will be done in the next month. So by the end of April, we're expecting everything to be completed. That project included adding a couple of storm drain inlets to catch the water runoff coming down the hill from the bus barn area. Then we're going with 4J and Shoshone Large Patch Project. And this is going to be really critical for people to know about and to watch as we do some message boards as well as public involvement in order to get the word out when we close 4J. So it will be very big for about a month. But we have the 4J and Shoshone Large Patch Project, which includes 4J and 6th Street intersection right there at the traffic signal. The street surfacing on 4J is very beat up and we needed it replaced. We're also going to replace a 1948 sanitary sewer line that's underneath that patch. So that's the big thing with 4J, and it's going to take about 30 days to get completed. And the contractor should start up sometime this spring. We're expecting him by the end of April to actually start. We wanted him to start in the springtime, and simply because the ice slicer and any damage can happen to that surfacing, the longer we get concrete to cure, the better we give it a long time before we put anything down on it. So that's kind of the idea with the 4J. You also heard in there the Shoshone Large Patch. So on Shoshone, we're looking at just west of 59. There's a major area right there. If everybody's been up the hill as they're heading eastbound on Shoshone, it is very rutted and very, I say, broken up. So with that, we're going to replace it with a concrete surfacing on that area as well, right there on Shoshone. So both of those projects we're firing up in April for sure. And then it'll take about 30 days to do both of them all at once, get them both done at the same time. So those are the big patches we got. We're also, if anybody's ever seen the Gurley Overpass construction or maintenance projects, we are doing an inspection every year, and that's when we do this. So in May, typically, we see a closure in order to chain the deck. By chaining the deck, what that means is we're listening for areas that are hollowed out, and that just means the concrete underneath is hollowed out. Then we go back in July when we close it down again for our 2-week inspection time frame. And what we do then is a maintenance project, which includes epoxy grout. It's a 2-part epoxy. We drill a hole into the deck. We put the 2-part epoxy into it, and then it fills it in to where there's no more void. So that's kind of the big thing with the overpass. So that will happen again this year. We've had great success of getting to extend the life of our deck because of this epoxy grouting. So it's really cool. Then we have the Foothills Reconstruction Project. We're hoping this one's still a go. So Foothills Boulevard between Mountain View Drive and Greenway Drive is where we're looking at. From that standpoint, it's the realignment of the two 90-degree curves. We're shooting to get that done We're working to get right-of-way and easements throughout that project. So if that happens, we're excited that that project can finally get done. I've heard they actually been looking at this since the early 90s. So for being able to get that realigned and get it straightened out will be a big benefit for what we're looking at in that part of the town. Other major project for streets is the McCann Heights. So this is kind of a reconstruction project. McCann Heights, to give everybody an idea, is in the Prairie View Drive, Sunrise, and Highland areas, which is, easier said, across from McDonald's from 59. So in that area, we have a couple of cul-de-sacs that we're going to be reconstructing, but the water and sewer is our number one priority. We have very well-aged 1970s water line in the area, and then we have 1950s actually sewer still in the area. So we're replacing both of them and we're going to completely reconstruct. What that means is you're going to have a longer time frame than anybody else in order to get your streets back or park right next to your house or into your driveway. We're going to dig the road up two or three times for those utilities and then put down some base, and then asphalt is going on the majority of those streets, and then we'll concrete the bulb outs, as we call them, at the end of the cul-de-sacs. So that'll be the McCann Heights project. We're looking to get started with that this April, so still springtime. Weather dependent on how fast and what gets done, but we're looking at October for final. So it's a long 6 to 7 month project that we're just gonna get through piece by piece. One of the reasons it is kind of piece by piece is also we have to do one section at a time. So almost a block at a time, or two blocks at a time, if you will, or the whole project will not be closed down all at once. We're going to be working in phases so people still have access into their homes and what they do.
All right. So that's our streets projects. We've also got a couple of parks projects to talk about.
Yep. These were identified part of the parks division and talking through with them over the years and everything of some of their needs throughout town. So we have a couple of them this year that we're looking and focusing on. We have the Dalby Park Master Plan, which this is looking at the Dalby Park specifically, the overall area, what improvements need to be done, can we move forward with different projects with it, and those types of things. It's not a project as in getting construction done. This is just going to be more of an overview of the improvements that need to be done. So more of a study and something that we can all look at, we can see, and then be able to budget for future projects in the future. So that's what the Dalby Park plan is. The Hidden Valley Playground Improvements Project, so this is an actual one. This is actually partially funded with Land and Water Conservation Fund money. So we got a $250,000 grant for this project. We just advertised this project. Bids came in a little higher than we expected. We were expecting to be more like $500,000. They came in just over $600,000. So we have to now take it to council and see if they're okay with awarding this project. But this is completely reconstructing the playground, removing the old, putting in new, adding some pathway connectivity through there for ADA access, and then making sure that we get a new sign and things like that. So it is truly all about the playground improvement with this project.
All right. And then there are a couple of projects that don't really fit into any of the other categories.
That's exactly right. I'm kind of calling them the other projects for what it is, but they're kind of the miscellaneous things that we help out with or get done. And so one of them is the demo of city lots. What we did is we packaged up a project. The city purchased a few lots around town in the downtown area here, and they have existing buildings or structures on them. We wanted to go in and take a look at what it would cost in order to demo the whole thing, remove all the structures, remove the foundation, backfill it, and then reseed it. So that way it's just grass ready to go. So we just advertised that project. We're looking to hopefully award that project in the next month at a future city council meeting. Then we have the Council of Community Services. So the Council of Community Services are partnering with us. We actually, as a city, had to go down and we were the sponsors for a CDBG grant, which is a community development block grant. And with that, we were able to get for the Council of Community Services projects some of that grant money. So with that, we have two projects. We have their remodel and networking project, which is a very big one for them, for people and helping their clientele who need to call in and get transferred to different areas. That's what this is for. It will also help provide them with some networking options with fiber. So we're able to bring fiber to their building in order to make sure everything can happen faster on their end as well with all of their hardware and software. So the remodel is setting up new offices. And then of course the networking part of that is being able to get all of the telecommunications and fiber to the appropriate places. So it's pretty exciting. It's in the middle of work right now. We actually awarded that last December. And then from that standpoint, we're able to see it hopefully done by June 1st is the goal right now. But they're making a lot of progress on it right now and getting those office spaces done. Then also, secondary grant, I'm going to say, with that CDBG grant, we were able to secure money for their parking lot reconstruction. So their parking lot is inclusive of both sides, which is on the east and west side, as well as the north. There's a little bit of a parking area. We were able to get that within the project. So the funding with that, we were able to get probably 75% of the overall parking lot project funded, and then probably about 95% of the remodel funded, all by the CDBG grants. And then from that standpoint, the remaining portion that needed to be matched or paid for was by the Council Community Services. So they were able to step up and do it. So the city's part of this is just administering, getting those funds, and then administering the projects to get them completed. And both are moving along right now.
Sure. All right. And then also, there are some pretty major water projects happening.
Yes, we do have some major water projects. As everybody knows, some of the things that are affecting them is the city pool reconstruction project. So that started, of course, we demolished it last year. We started work on it this winter just to start turning it around a little bit with some of the improvements to the two areas that we have new pumps and upgrades to our bathhouse. Then from that standpoint, we're really expecting this spring, summer, and fall to really see it come to fruition. From that standpoint, we should know more probably in September, October timeframe, if we're able to actually get it completely done. Of course, it won't help making the season to where we can open it up, but at least we'll be ready for next year without a problem. So we're still on schedule to finish up everything this year and be able to have it open for, say, business next spring or next June is what we're shooting for, so everybody can use the pool.
That'll actually be the 90th anniversary of the pool next year.
That'll be awesome. So that'll be a great time to be able to do it and celebrate opening the pool for everybody to use. So with that then, moving forward to other projects, we have the water interconnect project. So this interconnect project is actually tying two water lines that are not tied together right now, hence the reason it's an interconnect project. So where this is at, this interconnect project is actually tying the Burma water line, or the water line that's under Burma Avenue, to Melissa Drive. So right along Beaver Drive there, we're going to be doing a water line connection, installing a new water main all the way through there. It also constitutes boring in Dry Fork Drive, two locations of making sure that we can bore to connect, and we call it looping. So we'll loop the water line on Dry Fork Drive, and then we'll have the new water line that was installed from Burma all the way to Melissa. So we're hoping to get that advertised this spring still. So we're looking at April advertising timeframe, but the project probably won't be done until a fall timeframe, just because we're kind of getting late into the season for advertising projects, and it'll fit much better into a much smaller, later time frame in order to get everything done. We also have the Sutherland Water Fitting Replacement Project. So with that project, within the Sutherland subdivision, are streets such as Sutherland Drive, Vivian, and Almond. All of the Sutherland subdivision was looked at because it was kind of this ideal PVC waterline pipe from the late 1970s, and then the fittings, of course, were the same era. With that in mind, the fittings, the T's, crosses, and or valves are starting to fail, as you can imagine, after being in the ground for over 40 years. So for that reason, we need to replace the fittings, but not the pipe. So we will not do destructive everything to tear up the water mains and everything. We're just gonna go in and dig out, repair or replace the valves or fittings, and then patch them back. So much less hardship or traffic control, anything like that, is going to be minimized because we're just going to be doing the fittings in specific spots for where they're at. So just be aware, the Sutherland Water Fitting Replacement Project is going to go on this summer, and we're expecting to do pieces of it at a time, not all of it at once, to minimize that traffic impact. So then we have the Regional Water Phase 3 Freedom Hills and American Road Project. This is part of the overall Madison Regional Water whole schematic of all the phases. We are actually up to number 7 right now. Regional Water phases 1 and 2 are complete. This is phase 3. We are actually looking at phase 4 as well. So with phase 3 being Freedom Hills in the American Road area, we're looking to advertise that project still in April. because of the buildings and some of the electrical gear that's needed, it probably will not be completed until next spring. So this project for Regional Water Phase 3 is actually more like a year and a half project, it seems like, just because of some of the electrical stuff. We also have then, as I mentioned, Regional Water Phase 4. That includes the Fox Ridge connection. So what we're going to do here is take a connection point from the Red Hills tank, and we're going to tie a water line and head southwest and then connect it up to the Fox Ridge subdivision. So being able to give them regional water is what the goal is. From that standpoint, we're looking at bidding that again. That one's going to take a full year to construct as well, simply because of the electrical gear and everything that's still out there. So we're expecting that done hopefully by July of next year of 25. So those are the big water projects that we got going on around town. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of stuff moving once we get them all advertised. So this summer and fall, we'll be very busy with getting that stuff completed.
Sure. And that's just the water is the first stage. We also have a bunch of projects for after you've already had your water. I'm talking about the sanitary sewer projects.
That's exactly right. So we call them blue pipe, green pipe. So we're going to go with the green pipe with sanitary sewer. So with those projects, they are much larger projects for what we're dealing with right now because of our lift stations. So we have two sanitary sewer lift stations being replaced. One is the Camplex lift station, already been awarded last year, and the contractor's going to fire off here probably in April. And then from that standpoint, try to get it done before August 1st. So that's a big one. It's just north of the wastewater treatment plant, and that's the Camplex lift station. So you'll see some work out there pretty quick.
And what is a lift station?
So the lift station is actually needed so that you can go over a ridge, if you will, or a contour that you can't make it over by gravity feed. So what you do is you take all of the area, either a subdivision, a drainage basin, or anything like that, and because it cannot gravity feed all the way to the wastewater treatment plant, you gravity feed it to a certain point. At that point then, where the lowest point of the area is, you put a lift station so that it literally lifts the sewage up into a gravity feed main so that the rest of it can be gravity fed all the way to the wastewater treatment plant.
Gosh.
So it's very detailed because it literally is pumps. It's going into a large area, holding tank, if you will, and then lifted and pumped up to a higher elevation to get over the ridge. And then from there, it's all gravity fed to the wastewater treatment plant.
Gosh, okay.
It does a lot of work and it's constantly running, as you can imagine.
Yeah, and that's not our only lift station either.
That's exactly right. So we have our second one where we have the Heritage lift station. And both of these, just to give everybody an idea, are 40 plus year old lift stations. So you can imagine how technology and everything else is worn out with the drives and the pumps and everything and the lines through the last 40 years of use. And trust me, they get used a lot. So with the Heritage lift station, this one's actually located north of town off of Little Powder River Road. To give everybody an idea, north of Kluver Road or north of the Yes House. It's in a low spot up in a drainage channel. And all of those subdivisions up there north of Kluver actually drain back to that low spot. And then it is lifted again all the way up to by Kluver Road into a manhole. So that whole lift station takes care of all the subdivisions north of Kluver to make sure that they get sewage all the way to the plant.
So obviously these projects are really important if you want your sewage to go away.
That's exactly correct. I know the hard part with everybody is it's underground, so nobody sees what's happening. But when you see the deterioration and some of the age of these and the maintenance needed to keep them going, nobody wants a backup with their sewage. These are two projects that have to get done in order to make sure that everybody works properly when they flush.
Sure.
Those are the big ones for the lift stations. And now moving on to the wastewater treatment plant. If you haven't seen it yet, we have a new building out there and it's part of the Headworks project. So they've been working on this. So the Headworks project is actually the first line of defense, if you will, for the wastewater treatment plant. So everything we've been talking about with the sewage coming into the plant, now it's got to go through some bar screens. It needs to go and get it to where it actually coagulates into larger lumps, if you will, so that it can actually be taken out and processed. So to clean the water, you take all the bad stuff off initially. That's what the screening process is for. And then it goes beyond the Headworks project or the Headworks area and then goes into the rest of it to get treated so that the water coming out is treated and is much better to go into the creeks and streams. So for that reason, the Headworks is really the first line of defense for the whole entire plant. It takes everything out from socks or t-shirts or any of those undesirables that get into your wastewater treatment system. So with that one, we're looking at getting that done the end of this year. It started last year and hopefully will be done this year again. It's always a huge project. It was over $20 million total for what we're talking about. And because of the size and everything that was going with it, we had a great winter. So that was the good thing, is they were able to keep moving forward on that project. But again, due to all of the impacts to all of the needed items, the electrical items specifically, that's where the time frame really hit us, to where we won't get it done till the end of this year.
And that was $20 million, but it was also significantly grant supported, right?
That's exactly correct. So we actually have, on that project, we took in some of the ARPA money, if you've heard some of that. We took over $5 million of the ARPA grants. We received it. We actually went down for $7 million, but we received over $5 million in grant money for that. And then the rest of it is with the capital construction loan, in order to make sure that we can get everything working properly for that whole thing.
Sure.
Then we go with the Stonepile Creek manhole lining project. What that includes is Stonepile Creek, and it's really from I-90 to the wastewater treatment plant, to kind of give you an idea, on that kind of southeastern area of town, kind of behind Chara Hills subdivision. There's a sanitary sewer main that actually runs from under I-90 then all the way down to the wastewater treatment plant. With that, all the manholes were lined about 20 years ago. So now, as you can imagine, all the lining is just hit with all of that use and age and everything, so that we need to reline the manholes. So that's what this project would entail. The Stonepile Creek portion is just to locate it for where we know what it's called. And then from that standpoint, we will actually remove the existing liner. We hire a contractor. They'll go in, chip it all out, or spray it all out to where they get it, kind of like a heavy dishwasher, if you will, to get all the grease and gum and all of the lining off. Then they put in a new liner and they spray it all. And what that new liner does is it just gives you a protection so that your concrete manhole doesn't take all of the abuse of the H2S gas or anything like that, to make that manhole last a whole lot longer, by double or even triple the time frame for when you would need to replace it if you didn't have that liner adhered to the inside. So it's a pretty big project for what it is for manholes. But at the end of the day, it's much needed, simply because it is extending the life of that system for many years to come.
Sure.
Then we have the Twin Spruce Alley replacement project. So we're going to be doing this one this year. We advertised it and bid it out over the winter. We call it the Twin Spruce Alley simply because it's going from the Twin Spruce Junior High. So if anybody knows where the football fields and all that type stuff, off to the eastern side of the school, there's an alley down there between the kids clinic and the school. We're going to replace that sewer main in that alley and the one from 7th Street to 6th Street. By replacing that sewer, we're looking at bursting it. So that means we're not going to dig it all up and make sure it's open trench like we normally would with a larger project. Because it's an alley, it's a lot tighter spaces and a lot closer to the buildings. So we're going to burst this one, which means you're going to take the existing pipe that's already there and you're going to insert a larger head that's kind of like a missile. And it's going to go through the existing pipe. It breaks the existing pipe, which is vitrified clay pipe. So very brittle, very easily burst. And then literally tied onto that missile is another pipe that you're pulling through that's either PVC or HDPE. We're actually going to be bursting that line with new HDPE pipe. And then what it does is, because we didn't have to dig up the entire channel, we don't have to replace quite as much. So our surfacing costs go way down. We're patching only where the holes are, or where the pits are, if you will, for where that bursting equipment needs to come in or out of the system. And then, of course, where the manholes are and the service lines are another location that we have to be able to replace. And that's what we're looking at with that one, is being able to do the bursting project and then going in and patching or repairing only the areas we need to, which will just minimize the amount of construction or time frame that needs to be done. So we're waiting till the summertime to do that one, because it is, of course, right next to Twin Spruce Junior High. So with that in mind, we're waiting till the summertime to do the work, simply because that's a whole lot better than dealing with the buses and everything else and all the traffic that comes with it.
So as you can see, there are a ton of projects that go into maintaining the city every year. Is this year sort of representative for how many projects we usually have, or is this more or less?
It truly is representative of overall how many we do. The difference is on these two, of course, we spoke of the two lift stations, which are probably of much higher dollar amounts than we're used to. So on the number of projects, it's very close to what we normally do.
All right. And if people want more information, they want to see how the projects are coming along, how can they do that? How can they find that information?
Best place we always tell people to go is check the website, because we update our projects every week on the website. So if you click on the City of Gillette's website, I believe it's under construction projects, and you'll be able to see just a list of all the projects. You can go, there is a live map that's associated with it, and then just click on the area next to your home or whatever one you're interested in, and you'll get a lot of information, including what we're planning on doing that week. And then the other thing it also gives you is a person to contact. So if you have any questions, the project manager who's assigned to that project will be listed. Just give them a call. They'll be able to help out at any time.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming today.
You betcha. Thanks for the help and getting this word out, because projects are just exciting and it's really fun to do. And I know it really causes a lot of pressure and stress on people simply because of the traffic control and the impacts to them. But at the end of the day, we make it a lot better by the end of the project.
Let's Talk Gillette is a production of Gillette Public Access Television and the City of Gillette. For more information on city operations, visit the city's website, gillettewy.gov, or follow the City of Gillette on Facebook or Instagram.